If you're using a Bible in the pew, I have the page number here for you. We'll go to the book of Colossians, number 984, page number 984 if you're using the pew Bible. Why don't you take a couple moments to be able to praise the Lord together, to remind ourselves from His Word why we are thankful as Christians and what it means to truly be blessed. We have heard so many praises and testimonies this morning as encouragement to our heart. I was trying to write them down to reflect on later and to be thankful for how God is working in our church family. As I said, we could be here all day and all night and all week just praising God for who He is, for what He's done, and for what He's promised to do. I'm sure some of you often will use this phrase, "I am blessed." And I hope that it's true in your heart. We are blessed. We have so much to be thankful for. God has given us His undeserved grace, His blessing, His undeserved blessing and His grace and His mercy. And this is fully true for the Christian. But this morning, I'd like to encourage us from God's Word then make sure that we are being thankful for all the right reasons. And we come to Colossians 3, verse 14. I'm going to start in verse 14 and we'll read down through verse 17. But keep in mind before I read that Paul is writing a letter from a place where most people probably wouldn't think to be thankful in, unless they know the Lord, and that was prison. Paul was writing to these believers in Asia Minor, in Colossae, and he wanted to be with them, but because he couldn't be with them, he sent them this letter to encourage them to rejoice in the glory of Jesus Christ. And to be thankful for all that Christ has given them and to see Jesus Christ as high and lifted up as above all. And because of that, to live thankfully. And Paul, as he's writing from Colossians, you wouldn't know this was written in a prison if you're just reading it, unless you did some background in history material, because it doesn't sound mournful, it sounds thankful. And keep that in mind as we read this morning. I'll start in verse 14 and read down to verse 17. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Paul had sent off one of his close friends in ministry by the name of Tychicus. And Tychicus had at least three letters or epistles in his bag. One was to the church in Ephesus. Another was down the road to a church in Colossae. And another was to a man who lived in the town of Colossae named Philemon. Paul sent these letters under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and Colossians and Ephesians are very similar when it comes to some parts of their contents. But here in Colossians, in chapter 1, you don't need to turn there, but in Colossians 1, Paul gives thanks to God for the Colossians. And he rejoices that through Jesus Christ, these Christians have been brought out of darkness and out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of God's light through Christ. This whole letter overflows with thankfulness for all the right reasons. Later in chapter 1, he says, Christ is high and lifted up. He's preeminent above all. And in His glory and in His preeminence, He has reconciled Christians to God. As we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, as He died in our place, rose from the grave, and ascended to the Father, all who put their faith and trust in Him are made reconciled. They're made right with God. And he says, rejoice in that. And that is why Paul says then in the next section of chapter 1, that's why I can rejoice in my suffering. And I want you to rejoice in the suffering that you go through because Jesus has reconciled us to God. As he gets into chapter 2, he wants them to abound in thanksgiving. And if you would, look back at chapter 2. We'll look at chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. It's not that Paul just says, give thanks to God at the end. It's all through this letter. If you have time today, this would be a great letter to read through. But chapter 2, verse 6, he says, therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. When we are truly thankful as Christians for all the right reasons, we will be worshiping God. We will be thinking correctly about God. We will not be yielding to sin and to the emotions that can cause us to sin. We will be focusing on Christ and His glory and being thankful, being blessed for all the right reasons. And later in chapter 2, in verse 8, starting down through 8 through 15, he warns the Christians there to not give in to false doctrine and to rather focus on Christ, focus on the truths of Jesus, who triumphed over our sin and triumphed over Satan and death in his powerful death on the cross and resurrection from the grave. Later in chapter 2, again, he'll warn about worthless religions. Religions that make it seem like you can come to God in your own way and save yourself from your own sin if you will just follow these lists of do's and don'ts. And Paul says, don't do that. Rather, focus on what Christ has done for you. As he gets into chapter 3, he says, think correctly. Let this mind be in you. Well, actually, that's Philippians 2, but he says, seek those things which are above. Have a mindset, a mind that is focused on these heavenly truths in Christ, not on the sinful realities of this world. Focus on Christ. Be Christ-centered in your mindset and focus. And then verse 5 in chapter 3, he has a list, verses 5 through 11, of things to put off. If I really want to live thankfully for God, I need to put off certain things and not focus on these sinful things and put them off as if you're taking off a dirty garment. Take it off and rather put on these righteous living for Christ, verse 12. And that's where we come to our passage. If you look at verse 12, I want to read that as it leads us to where we are. Verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord, as Jesus, has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. This is the context of thankfulness. One this morning, very briefly, want to look at three truths, three realities about Christian thankfulness and why Christians are thankful for all the right reasons. First, we see that Christian thankfulness, it rests on Christ. Our thankfulness, thank God, is not based on our circumstances. It's not based on our health. It's not based on us, but it's fully resting on Jesus and what he's done. In verse 14 and 15, he says, I want you to love one another. I want you to be peaceful towards one another. But what's the basis for that? I want you to be thankful. It's all because of what Christ has done for us. He has shown us amazing love, and we can show his love to others. He has given us peace with God. He has forgiven us of all trespasses, and we forgive one another, and we have peace because we're one body. Verse 15, it says, you were called in one body. Christ is the head of this church, and Jesus wants us to be thankful. Our thankfulness as Christians, it doesn't rest on us. Thank God. If it rested on us, we would be a mess. If it rested on everything going right in this world the way we want it, it would be horrendous. We would not be thankful. But as Christians, even Paul writing in prison is thankful. Because his thankfulness was not resting on the Colossians, wasn't resting on himself or his circumstances. It was resting on Christ, who never changes, who is preeminent above all. Secondly, Christian thankfulness, it resonates the word of Jesus Christ. It shares the word, the truths of Christ. When we are thankful, we share the good news of Christ as we live. Look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That is the picture of someone coming and taking up residence in your home and not just giving them, you know, a place on the floor. It's doing everything you can to make that person who comes into your house feel warm and invited and welcome to stay and reside with you, to dwell with you, not just to visit for a little bit. And here he wants the believers, let the word of Christ, let God's word, let the teachings of Jesus Christ come into your life, dwell in you, in our hearts, richly. And when that happens, look what the result is. We are able to teach and admonish one another in wisdom. God gives us wisdom to teach his truths and at times to use his truth to give that admonishment, that word of counsel, that word even of gentle, loving instruction and rebuke. But it's all because of the word of Christ dwelling us. We get wisdom. And also, what do? We just did this morning. We sing. When the words of Christ, the truth of God's word, are dwelling richly in our hearts, they have a change in us. We sing with thankful hearts to God. When psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, we sing scripture, or we sing songs that were written around scripture to cause us to do what? To have thankfulness, verse 16, in our hearts to God. When we do that, we resonate. That word resonate, it carries the idea of echoing, amplifying, peeling out, filling the air. Christian thankfulness fills the air with the truth of Jesus Christ when we're thankful, especially in the hardest of times. Can you imagine those Roman soldiers looking at Paul? Man, what's different with this guy? We even know, really, we've heard or under the grapevine, he could have been released. He's innocent, but he appealed to Caesar, and now he's stuck here in this prison under house arrest, and even this one, you think he was really in prison. Not the greatest situations, but there's something different. He's not cursing at us. He's not cursing his God. He's not bribing us. He looks like he's thankful. Well, as Peter says, when people ask you, as a Christian, what is your hope in? What are you hoping in that causes you to have joy in the middle of suffering? Where do we point them to? To Christ. And Paul would even talk about in other letters how there were those in the household of Caesar who greet them because they had come to Christ. God has a good purpose. Our Christian thankfulness, when we are thankful for all the right reasons, it resonates. In fact, Jesus said, Matthew 28, verse 20, in the Great Commission, go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, Matthew 28, 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. What are the word of Christ? Let the word of Christ, what is that? The word of Christ, at its most literal core, is what Jesus commanded us to do. So where do I go to find what Jesus commanded to do? You go to his word. You go to the Gospels. You go to Acts. You go to the epistles. You see how Christ is sharing his truth to his church and also throughout the Old Testament. John 8, verse 31, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You've heard that phrase, right? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What's the basis, the foundation? It's his word abiding in us. Christian thankfulness resonates the word of God. And then third, Christian thankfulness rejoices to God through Jesus Christ. As we look at verse 17, whatever you do, in word or deed, whether we are here at church worshiping, whether we are out in our jobs or our outside secular environments, whatever we do as Christians, do everything in or through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Christian thankfulness rejoices to God the Father through Jesus Christ. It's all through Christ. May we rejoice. We have every reason to be thankful. There's so many other places we could look, but this is what Christian thankfulness is about. If I could encourage us as we prepare to wind down our gathering this morning, to collect our offering a little bit, could I encourage you with this truth from God's word? Every Christian, not just the ones that seem to be doing okay and don't have physical challenges, not the ones who are just in suffering, every Christian is truly, wonderfully, and fully blessed by God. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can get our eyes on other Christians and look, well, look how God's blessing them, or look how he's not blessing me the same way. But God has a perfect, loving, gracious plan. And for some of his children, he allows them to go through the trials of physical suffering. Some, he calls them to go through emotional relationship suffering. Others, there's other trials, but all of us, if we are in Christ, have the same wonderful grace, wonderful mercy, wonderful love. God doesn't play favorites with his children. He's not like us. He's a perfect parent and father to his children. Every Christian is truly and wonderfully and fully blessed by God. I hope you know that truth in your heart. And I hope that you rest in those truths this Thanksgiving. What does this mean for us? Well, it means that we need to live a life of thankfulness to God. Thankfulness should be a hallmark of the Christian life experience. As I said before, Christians should be the most thankful of all people. And also, may we let the word and the truth of Jesus drive our thankfulness. May we never get to the point where we see our thankfulness, and we're tempted to, all around us, we're tempted every day to be thankful to God when things are going well. But then when things, quote unquote, aren't going well in our lives, and hardships truly come, may our thankfulness stay constant, because our thankfulness in Christ is not based on our circumstances. It rests on Christ, who never changes. And may we rejoice in that truth this morning. So whether we endure, as Paul did, imprisonment or other trials, we can be thankful because every Christian is truly, wonderfully, and fully blessed by God. May we as Christians be thankful to Him for all the right reasons. We're going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to pray and thank the Lord for His goodness to us. I wanted to share a praise, and the men are going to come in a minute, and they're going to collect our Thanksgiving praise offering. We pray it will be a blessing to our missionaries. We thank the Lord for their sacrifice and the faithful sacrifice that they have made for many years, number of them. But I want to thank the Lord for our church family. You all have been such a huge blessing to our family. I thank God for His faithful provision, for the strength He gives, for the faithful provision of the prayers that you have for our family, for one another. I can't think of a year, and maybe it's just hopefully getting to know you better this year. My goal every year is to get to know you better as a pastor, but as a brother in Christ. But this year, there have been, as Linda, I think, shared, there have just been a lot of things going on that we know about together that we can pray through. Wonderful blessings, exciting times, also challenging times, and yet God has been showing Himself so good and so faithful. And I've been reminded of His provision so recently and how He is so careful and how He provides through His loved ones in His church. And so we thank God for His grace. We're going to pray as the offering is, the men come to take our offering. And let's pray that God would use these gifts to be a blessing to our missionaries. Father, thank You for this time together that we can give thankfully to You. We thank You for how You've provided for us in wonderful ways. Father, thank You for our missionaries, Your missionaries, that we are blessed to be able to partner with, to be able to support. And Father, I pray that You would help us to be an encouragement. We pray You'd use these gifts to be an encouragement, a symbol of our love for our missionaries this Christmas season. We know that many of them, a number of them, are not able to be with family and friends because they are overseas, and yet they don't complain about that. They rejoice in Your calling for them. We pray for those that are far away from family, that this can be an encouragement to them as well. Pray that You continue to meet their needs as You do ours. Pray that You get the glory as we give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.